Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pates sitting in for John Rush, who is taking his belated birthday off. Good for him. Happy birthday, John, once again, wherever you are out there. We are waiting for, one second here, Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt. He should be calling in here in just a minute. In the meantime, I got a little story here. It's out of California. And the California Task Force will consider paying reparations for slavery under a bill. And by the way, this isn't just some bill that may be working through and then die in committee. No. This has been signed by Governor Newsom. They're serious. California will develop a detailed plan for reparations under a new law signed on Wednesday by Governor Gavin Newsom. Making it the first state to mandate a study of how it can make amends for its role in the oppression of black people. The law creates a 9-member task force to come up with proposals for how the state could provide reparations for black Americans, what form those reparations might take, and who would be eligible to receive them. Folks, I think that's pretty easy. It would be called black people would probably be the people who would be eligible to receive them. This is not just about California, he says. This is about making an impact and a dent across the rest of the country. Newsom said moments after signing the bill during a ceremony broadcast on his YouTube channel. The law does not limit reparations to slavery. Let me say that again. The law does not limit reparations to slavery. No limits. Although it requires the task force to give special consideration for black people who are descendants of slaves. And I want to tell you something, folks. I think this is a great idea. Awesome idea. You want to know why? Because California is Democrat. It is overwhelmingly Democrat. It is hugely Democrat. And it was the Democrat Party that oppressed the slaves. It was the Democrat Party that formed its militant wing known as the KKK. It was the Democrat Party that voted against everything that we did in the civil rights actions in the 60s. It was the Democrat Party that was lynching Republicans right alongside black people during the days of the Civil War and after. It was the Democrat Party. So you know what? I think it's great that Democrats want to get together and pool their money and give it to the descendants of the people that they and their party oppressed. Only one difference I'd want there. I think it'd be really good to have an opt-out for anyone with an R by their name. Okay? And people will say, well, no. All white people. Why, all white people have benefited because of white privilege, white this, white that. Really? White Republicans had nothing to do with it. White Republicans died to stop it. White Republicans voted against it at every turn. If you get an R by your name, no. I don't think that you should have to do this at all. I think you should have a little opt-out. I think that's perfectly fair. But you Democrats out in California, you know what? My goodness. If you want to give your money to those people that you oppressed for all those years, God love you. I think you should do it. I think it's a great idea. Yes, go for it. All right, next story. Connecticut sports reporter fired after calling Tim Scott an Uncle Tom. Okay, this happens in Connecticut. News 12 networks. We have a zero tolerance policy for racism. All right. A Connecticut-based sports reporter was fired on Wednesday after referring to Senator Tim Scott, black Republican, as an Uncle Tom in a now-deleted tweet. The Hill tweeted, one second here. There we go. Had to bring it up. The Hill tweeted a link to a story about Scott saying he thought President Trump misspoke when he said stand back and stand by, you know, talking about the Proud Boys. By the way, folks, can I ask, I don't know anything about the Proud Boys. I know nothing about them. But I will say one thing. I wish they'd change their name. I don't know if this is like some white power group or if this is just some militia. I don't know if they all refer to their homes as compounds. I have no clue. Or if they're just a good liberty-loving group that loves liberty. I have no idea, but I will say this. Change your name because you sound like a boy band. The Proud Boys? That sounds like five teenagers getting up and singing in sync. Just saying. Anyway, moving on. When Donald Trump said he would ask them to stand back and stand by. In other words, get out of the way. Let law enforcement deal with this stuff, not your job. Now, what is he supposed to do? What's President Trump supposed to do? Call for the Proud Boys to all be arrested for being the Proud Boys? Maybe be arrested for that name. I'll stay that. But no, until they commit a crime, you don't arrest them. I have no idea if that is some white supremacist group. And by the way, folks, if there's anybody out there who can educate me on exactly what the Proud Boys are about, give us a call, 303-477-5600, because I have no idea. But even if they are some silly group, then why don't we just do something really not so silly and let them have free speech and be dumb? I'm cool with that. Why don't we just do that? Well, anyway. This now former News 12 Connecticut sports reporter, Fred Gertiny, it's kind of hard to say, G-E-R-T-E-I-N-Y. He responded by writing, "Thanks, Uncle Tom," and swiftly lost his job as a result. Okay, yes, he should lose his job. I'm glad he lost his job. But here's the thing, guys. Here's what really bugs me. I am so sick of this pervasive attitude throughout sports media, that is so crazy liberal. If you go on to ESPN right now, you go to ESPN and you watch a few shows, anytime they touch on anything political or social justice or anything else, it is not just left wing. Oh, no. It's hard left wing. It's crazy. And so what angers me is not so much that this guy said this and then he got fired. He should. What angers me is that so many people like him are hired in the first place. They don't belong there. They don't. This is a good country, folks. We don't need that kind of nutsiness. And yet everywhere you go, if you just want to watch a game, if you just want to watch, you know, reruns or whatever, if you want to watch the replays of the latest basketball game that happened in the area, you get treated to this kind of nonsense. I'm sick of it. Once again, if anybody knows what Proud Boys are, I really have no clue. But what a name. Let's take a break. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to take a look at the Ted Cruz discussion that he had with Chris Cuomo. You're going to love this. This was apocalyptic. These two really went at each other. So let's do that. Let's first take a break right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
For over 37 years, Geno's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Geno's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Geno's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Geno's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Geno's online at genosautoservice.com.
Hi, this is Scott Wilder. You've heard us talk about the COVID-19 emergency relief work that Save the Children is doing in this country. You know, Save the Children works in 125 countries around the world, but also works right here at home, especially in times of crisis and disaster. And COVID-19 certainly qualifies as that. Your $100 gift, we've told you, can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for 10 days $300 can do that for one child for a month, and $1,000 can do that for one child all the way through the end of this semester. 30 million U.S. school children count on school for more than education, count on school for also their nutrition. Save the Children is standing in the gap and inviting you to do the same. Would you join us? Call 800-570-5155, 800-570-5155, or go to SaveChildrenKLZ.org.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. A little bit of schedule change here, but Dan and Blackhawk, you are on. Dan, what you got?
Hey, not much. Hey, did you hear John yesterday talk to the guy about the cover-up on Vegas?
Yeah.
At all? He didn't?
Yeah, I did.
So it's kind of, oh, okay. Well, since you worked up in Blackhawk.
Yes, I did.
And you were, yeah. So what was your take on him saying that they don't have video surveillance in the hall, in the hotels?
Well, I can't speak. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I work at a fairly large casino up in Blackhawk.
Which one?
And we have Ameristar.
Cool.
So we have...
Love your buffet.
Oh, thanks, but it's not open.
I know.
So it's this whole COVID thing's stupid. And, you know, I guess across the street they have it open, but it's like a sit-down restaurant.
Do you, do you guys have surveillance in your hallways in the hotel?
Yes, we do. So... The thing that I was thinking about is, and I don't know how long ago you worked in up there in Blackhawk, but remember, it used to be videotapes, VCRs, and you had to run cable, and those casinos out in Vegas are huge. The hotels are huge.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Cat 5 cable is not cheap. So if they, I think part of the reason why they haven't done it was just not the liability issue. It has to do more with the cost issue of running cable and then the cameras, because I, you know, I go into surveillance and stuff.
Yeah, well, here, let me jump in here for a second, Dan. Here were my thoughts on that. And for everybody who's listening right now, the guy who was being interviewed by John, he's put together a movie on the shooter who was at, you know, a couple years back in Vegas, the Vegas shooter. And one of the things he said was that basically, they have no surveillance in the hallways, and the reason is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And he even mentioned that, you know, high rollers and these, you know, if they want to beat a prostitute, I believe he said, or things like that, that, you know, these high rollers, the casinos don't want whatever they do to be public. I think he went a little far on that. Here's what I basically thought. Number one, it's incredibly expensive, as you say. As you know, we have to have a zillion angles all over the casino, on every machine, on every table, on every entry and exit, right? And even going outside and going down the street, so you can track if some kind of somebody tries to steal a ticket or whatever, and they race over to another casino. And that's why they always get caught. Folks, if you're going to steal, don't do it in Blackhawk. You're going down. And just letting you know. We catch you so easily. But... another thing is that privacy is a big thing in Vegas. Obviously, people in Vegas, they don't go there because they want their life all out in the open. But you and I'm sure you've known a bunch of big spenders, high rollers. they're not a bunch of people who want to beat up hookers. And I know he wasn't saying that across the board, but a lot of them are just very private people, aren't they, Dan?
Yeah, and unfortunately, and I don't know if you had to deal with Title 31 or there, but we do, and they,
yep.
Since, you know, Obama, they got now what's called Know Your Customer, and we got to find out the source of funds that our high rollers have, and it's pretty difficult trying to get that information, and of course the IRS won't share their information with us. I'm like, you guys got the information on these people, you know, yeah. why are you forcing us to try to find... I mean, we can find out sources of income, but a lot of times it's pretty difficult. And yet, you know, they don't want to help out the casino industry, but yet they're all concerned about, you know, money being where they're getting their source of funds.
Dan, I could do a whole hour just on how the state basically wants casinos to be cops, and
yes.
And it's ridiculous, and the expectations and how they have us track people are way over the top. But was my answer pretty good? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, my main thing was, you know, the cost of storage, cable, cameras, and we're going HD, you know, and that takes a lot of storage, and storage is not cheap.
Right.
You know?
To add all those hallways in Las Vegas would first of all, there's privacy. Second of all, it's extremely expensive. So gotta run.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Take care. Okay, Joe, you are on. What do you got for me?
Couple of things. The funniest meme I saw all day, there was a meme of Chris Wallace sitting there with Joe Biden in the background, and the caption was, "Relax, Joe, I've got this one," meaning Chris was going to answer for Joe.
Well, he practically did. Did you hear how he framed several of his questions where he was basically giving Joe his answer? No, of course, you're not for, you know, banning fracking. We all know that. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But, you know, Trump is a racist at Charlottesville.
Yeah. In fact, I'll post it up on my Facebook page. If you, it's funniest meme I saw. Yeah, relax, Joe. I've got this one. Anyway,
it was awful.
Interesting thing, by the way. You know, the myth around the liberals now is that Trump is broke. He's got $400 million in debt coming through, coming due. He's going to be broke. He's going to declare bankruptcy. 2 days ago, September 28th, Forbes published an analysis of Trump's holdings and debts.
Okay.
And you know what Forbes pegged Trump's net worth at?
Did they find that he was living out of a box?
No.
No? Okay, go ahead.
They pegged his net worth, this is assets minus liabilities, at $2.6 billion. They said he has $3.7, you know, they valued all of his property, went golf courses, hotels, etc., you know, his various, and $3.7 billion in tangible assets. And about $1.1 in you know, in business debt. You know, all these, you get leverage, you get loans, you get mortgages. So 3.7 in assets minus 1.7 in debt. Excuse me, 1.1 in debt. They peg his net worth at $2.6 billion. So much for the rumor that admit that Trump is not a billionaire and he's close to being broke.
Well, you know, I think the guy sounds pretty poor. And what he needs to do is use his kids to leverage access and influence around the world. Get Chinese money, Ukrainian money, Russian money. I'm telling you, it's out there to get. What do you think?
No, but you have to be the son of a vice president to get it.
Oh!
So he's not the son of a vice president. So maybe if he gets Trump Jr. to be, maybe he can get, after he wins his reelection, maybe they'll hire Trump Jr. to sit on some of those boards of directors.
Let me ask you something. Will the phrase "son of a vice president" become profanity in the near future? I mean, this is just ridiculous. My gosh. Yeah. Hunter is only going to grow as an issue. You know, a lot of people are looking at how Trump, I don't think he had the right strategy the other night. You probably heard my take on that. I think it was the wrong strategy. Yep. Okay. When they're saying orange man bad, you want to be orange man nice guy. All right.
Yep.
Still zing him, but nicely. But that's going to fade. The problems that Joe has with Hunter are going to grow over the next week or two, don't you think?
I do, but the question I have, Andy, how many undecided voters do you think there are left? I mean, I don't know of many people who are undecided at this point.
True.
So you know, what do you think the number is? 1 million? 3 million? How many undecided voters are left out there that haven't made up their mind yet?
Oh, I'd say it's actually 3 to 5. Because, you know, you've got the people who don't like Trump, but also Biden is uninspiring. This is a tough election, but that's where I'd put it. And thanks so much, Joe. Got to run. Is that okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, sir.
I'm good.
All right. And thanks so much. And we will be back with the Secretary of the Interior after these messages on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed. But it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
You just don't feel good. Maybe it's an immune disorder. Maybe it's lack of healthy diet and exercise. Maybe it's a hormone imbalance or some unidentified underlying health issue. Whatever the reason, you can't remember the last time you felt truly refreshed, full of energy, and free of aches and pains. Dr. Julie Marchiol of Ascent Health Center believes it's possible to feel great. She wants to give you hope by providing practical direction for healthy lifestyle changes. Nobody can figure out their health issues and maintain a perfect diet and exercise alone. We all need guidance and support to find out what's going on and work to fix it. Dr. Julie and the team at Ascent Health Center will meet with you to identify some possible causes for your high stress levels, low energy levels, and poor sleep. Then they will make a plan to stop feeling awful all the time and start feeling great. Mention Rush to Reason today for a free, no-obligation consultation with Dr. Julie.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line, we are lucky to have the Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Well, Secretary Bernhardt, you're going to be discussing your expanding access to hunting, fishing, outdoor recreation, and the Great American Outdoors Act. Can you please explain that act to a lot of people here? Because, you know, we see these acts and they're all so long and convoluted. We need it boiled down. What does it mean?
Well, here's the bottom line. That act is the most significant investment in recreational opportunities in the history of mankind. Let me make that really, really clear for you.
All right.
This act does something that is phenomenal. And what it does is, first off, it takes $1.9 billion and invests that money each year for 5 years in restoring and enhancing our public lands that have maintenance backlog issues. So our national parks, our BLM lands, our Forest Service lands, to enhance and maintain facilities. That's a huge investment. But on top of that, it contains $900 million a year, guaranteed every year, of funding, which will go right to recreation opportunities, either for federal opportunities, but also for state recreational opportunities. So if you're a hunter, if you're a fisher, and if you're somebody who hikes, if you love paddleboarding or riding a kayak, whatever it is, this act benefits you. And what it really is, these are two ideas that have floated around as competing ideas for a long time. The president in March said, let's do both. And he said, let's do both after visiting with Senator Gardner in the White House. It's an incredible action taken, and it is a game changer for anybody who likes to be outside, which is a few people in Colorado.
So basically, make the great outdoors great again.
that's exactly what it is. That would be that. That's probably we probably should have told the president that's what we were going to name it. But the reality is, it's exactly what it does. It enhances our facilities. It and it ensures that more opportunities will be provided. And right now, you know, things have gone gangbusters on outdoor recreation through the whole COVID period. Public lands and recreational opportunities have been a very important part of getting people out, keeping some solace, finding inspiration, and just being able to reset. And we've had a lot of visitation, and it's been great.
Secretary Bernhardt, I know this is going to sound a little bit mean, but why did these outdoor areas fall into such disrepair? It just seems to me that some other administrations had every other priority but this.
Well, I think the bottom line is very simple. This president cares about one thing, results. I think a lot of administrations spent years talking about this stuff, saying how they might do it. This president, he says, we're doing it, and you're doing it, and go figure out how to do it. Now, that's great for competent administrators. It's one of the best freedoms we can have in government is be told, go fix something, get it fixed. But a lot of people like to talk, and do nothing. And this president does not tolerate that. He says, here's a problem. Here's my solution. Do I have the votes to get it done? Yes. Well, then why isn't it done? It's a pretty basic concept, and it works.
Yeah, this one thing I happen to love about our president, he actually does things, which I'm sorry, but I've seen a lot of
He cares completely about serving the American people better. And to do that, he wants to have results. He keeps his promises in ways that are phenomenal. I've seen him in a room with people saying, oh, no, you can't do it. He says, look, I said we're going to do it. We're doing it, and a day later, everything works out.
You know,
and he is relentless at delivering for the American people.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's also, to me, kind of a neat thing coming out of COVID to be able to have these kinds of projects, these infrastructure projects. You know, we're also doing it with roads, bridges, and elsewhere, where we can have people put them to work with good-paying jobs, doing things that make life better for all their fellow citizens. And we're doing it right there out in the great outdoors.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, later this week, we'll be rolling out the announcement of the groundbreaking for the Arkansas Valley Conduit, which is another major infrastructure project for Colorado that the president and Corey worked on for a long time. And so he is delivering, and you're right, these are tremendous opportunities to help people that are looking for some work.
Senator Bernhardt, would you be able to describe, because it's very important to the voters here in Colorado, of course, we're in the middle of election. Could you describe some of the role that Cory Gardner played in this?
Well, Cory played a critical role. I mean, he and Senator Daines and others went to the president with this very idea. The president had a vision of, I want to maintain and I want to restore our parks. I'd like to do other things for recreational access. But they went to them and they went to him and said, look, here's a game changer. Here's what it means to Colorado. Here's what it means to the state of Montana. The president is great at this. He listened and he said, let's do it. And he did that over some injections, frankly, of folks in his own party. He said,
sure,
this is the right thing to do. We're doing it. And he got it done. And let me tell you, people have talked about this since the 80s, the 90s. Obama spent a lot of time talking about some idea of how to do something. None of them could do it because they didn't have the boldness to say, it's time to go. Let's go roll. And Corey was the impetus for that. There just can be no debate, no difference of opinion. The reality is this probably wouldn't be a law if Corey hadn't stepped forward and then went to the president and then sponsored the law. Would not have happened.
Okay, Senator Bernhardt, let me be kind of a bottom line guy here. Economic impact for Colorado.
The outdoor recreation plays a key role in the Colorado economy. You know that as well as I do.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's skiing, hunting, fishing, and certainly using those mountains and the destinations like Estes Park. It's critical. Outdoor recreation is critical to the economy, and it plays a big role.
Will this be happening over the next, 6 months? Year, because the reason I ask is, you know, when we've basically lost our summer here, and the tourism industry basically lost it, and the tourism industry is heavily affected by everything you're doing here, and
right.
I was wondering, coming into next summer, do you think they're going to be able to see some results from this that'll help get that boost going?
Absolutely, because the reality is we'll be the money will be arriving in my account in the middle of October, and so we'll start moving the money. Absolutely.
Now, you're sure that wasn't arriving in my account?
Yeah.
I'm a very good person. I'm very trustworthy. And
look, the Department of the Interior has worked for years to create this, so I'm pretty confident the money's coming, and we're going to be moving forward with projects. Absolutely. It's a game changer.
Fantastic. Secretary Bernhardt, do you have anything else that you'd like to say on this? Maybe some information where people can look into this, contact you, and get more information on the project.
Absolutely. Get outdoors. American people should get outdoors. Go to nps.gov or fws.gov and explore our wonderful public lands.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, sir. I know you have to run. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us a moment of your time.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Take care. That was Secretary David Bernhardt. And with the Great Outdoors Act that's coming from Donald Trump and our very own Cory Gardner, I can't be more excited about it. I just can't be more excited about it. Hey, Charlie, do we want to go to an early break? Maybe. Let's do that. Okay, let's take a break, folks. When we come back, we're going to get right back to what I was talking about. Cruz and Cuomo, you're going to love this. We're going to pick it apart. It's a lot of fun. Right here on Rush, that's funny. On Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Call Novus Auto Glass as soon as you notice a chip or crack in your windshield so they can save you more money. Novus Auto Glass wants to help you save more money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at getting a repair when you act fast. Glass repair is more complicated than you think. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack unfixable. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, though, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. Novus works with all insurance companies, and for those without windshield coverage, Novus will give you a discounted cash price. It's simple. Novus Autoglass saves you more money. Visit rushtoreason.com/Novus now and find the windshield repair expert nearest you. Novus Autoglass, the inventors of windshield repair.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jim in Byers. You live in Byers, a city that has not gone insane. So you're not like the rest of Colorado. How you doing, Jim?
I guess I'm doing okay. So you're not really going to like what I'm going to have to say about this last thing.
That's okay. Go ahead. Let's hear the other side.
Well, it's not the other side. I'm a native, as were my parents, my grandparents, and I've seen this state grow, and I've seen a whole lot of the bad side of what's taking place in this state with the growth. Actually, throughout the entire West, to tell you quite truthfully.
Okay.
And the guy really wasn't overly specific with what he was talking about with what they planned on doing with the money and all the all the government land and all that stuff.
Hey, Jim, really quick, just so you know, he was on a very strict time schedule, so we didn't have too much time. But go ahead.
Okay.
You're right, though. We didn't get a lot of detail into how it would be spent.
Okay. And so I don't know. I've seen the Forestry Service without this $1 billion or whatever. I've seen the Forestry Service doing a lot of things up the mountains for what I think they call improvements, which I don't really approve of, and I can give you a whole bunch of examples.
Give me a few.
I have this one. I'll give you this one.
Yeah, give me a few.
We used to go up four-wheeling up near this place called Red Cone Pass, okay?
Okay.
And basically, you could get maybe about the first mile or so off the main road right there, 285 right there, and go back in there. And then after that, you had to have four-wheel drive to go further back up in there.
Oh, is that just is that just up past Conifer on the left?
No, it's not.
No, I messed up. Okay.
No.
I'm thinking a different one, but go ahead.
But anyways, so then we hadn't gone up there for a number of years, and then we decided to go back up there to go camping one time and go four-wheeling. Well, the Forestry Service went in there, and they cut that road all the way up to almost the base of the mountain back up in there. And there was just campers with fifth-wheel trailer, tank campers and stuff. And we're camping back up in there. And this is the part that I don't like. You know, people back in there, they're getting drunk. They're shooting off guns during the middle of the night and stuff. And I thought, you know, this whole area back in there has been destroyed because they cut that road back up in there so everybody and their dog could get back up in there with those fifth-wheel trailers and all those trailers and stuff. And I thought, you know, we've never been back up there since.
Well, Jim, first of all, without getting drunk and shooting off guns, what would my wife and I do on the weekends? I mean, very entertaining.
Well, do the same way that my wife and I always did. We always went back up in those four-wheel drive areas. And we packed up our pickups and went back up in there and went camping.
Now, I know what you mean. As they expand access by doing those kinds of things, it brings crowds. And it brings and things that used to be very, how do I put it, more nature-y, get overrun.
Let me give you some other examples.
Yeah, give me these another.
These are national parks, and I won't go back to them anymore either.
Okay.
About 25, 30 years ago, we went up to places. I like taking trips around the country because I think we live in one of the most beautiful countries in the world.
Yep.
And not that I've been anywhere, but I think we live in a very beautiful country. And so to give you an example, one of our trips, we went up to the Grand Tetons and Yellowstone over to Cody, over to Devil's Tower. Do you know Devil's Tower?
No.
Okay. Devil's Tire, then over to Mount Rushmore and all that.
Okay.
But now, about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, we went back to a lot of those areas. And give you an example, Yellowstone. I mean, it used to be very natural, and then they went in there and they modernized everything, and it's just ugly now. Mount Rushmore, the same way. You go up there, they modernize it, and you got these flags from all over the world in there. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't a world monument. This is a United States monument. Why are we flying flags from all over the world in that place? It just made me want to puke.
Well, basically, Jim, if I can give the other side, we got to keep in mind the numbers, the sheer numbers of people going into these areas is dramatically increasing. I mean, what has been the fastest growing state in the country now for God knows how long? It's Colorado, right? I mean, we every year we're either first or second for fastest growing state in the country. We just get overrun. We're always in the top group. And that's because people want to come here. And if in these areas, if you don't put in better infrastructure, by the way, I think some of what we put in, you're right, takes away the fun of it. It makes it not look like nature. But if you don't put in some better infrastructure, aren't those areas simply going to get overrun by the greater foot traffic?
Oh, well, yeah. And believe me, I got a problem with that because Guanella Pass, if you know where the Guanella Pass
is. I do.
I mean, that used to be a dirt road going over that thing, and they got that thing paved all the way over now.
That used to be a scary dirt road at times.
And let me tell you, now that place has got thousands and thousands, and I've even heard Mandy Connell from another radio station talking about being up there, and people throwing their trash everywhere, and their dogs doing their thing. And I'm like, oh my God, and that place used to be so beautiful up there.
People throwing trash out there. You know, I've never seen anyone throwing any trash out of Quinella. I believe you. That's terrible. It is so gorgeous up there. I mean, it's like paradise.
Oh, there's I think it was just about a year or two ago. Actually, I think like within the last year or two, they even had somebody, because there's lots of mountain goats up there and sheep, and somebody up there took a gun and just out and outright just shot one of them up there for no bloody sick reason.
Well, that's bad. Well, let me tell you this, Jim. You may be right. Anytime you have government expand access into something, they could do it right or they could do it wrong. Okay, and we've seen both ways. I mean, I've also seen like up back in back of Estes where some of the trailheads were expanded and where access was expanded. It was done right. And it made it easier for the greater number of people to go and see these mountain lakes and so forth without damaging the nature around it. But I've also seen what you're talking about too, where it just gets overrun.
You know the one thing, Andy, I guess what bothered me so much, because, you know, part of the problem that's always been in the West out here is and I have to hand this to Cory Gardner, having brought the Bureau of, the Bureau of Land Management that oversees all this stuff, brought it out here to Grand Junction. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. You know, that's the one good thing that you know, because Easterners have no idea what the West is about. They've always set policies for the West. How can you, living on the East Coast, set policies? And so I hope that they hire people from the West that have grown up here and really great ideas to the growth of these forests.
Jim, that's actually, and I got to let you go after this, but that is actually what gives me a lot of hope, because they are hiring people out here. They do have more of a Western mindset. They understand the very nature that they've been trampling over. And Cory Gardner and Donald Trump, I simply trust them a lot more with this project than people who came before them, if that sounds fair.
I really hope so, Andy, because I tell you, I hate to see the West just totally, I don't know.
Well, you're always going to have more people, Jim, but let's see if we can make it so we can accommodate them in a good way. All right?
All right. Thank you much, Andy.
Thank you, sir. All right. That was Jim from Byers, and he does make some good points, folks. Now, speaking of someone else who makes some good points, you ever heard of Ted Cruz? Pretty smart guy. And he had a little talk with Chris Cuomo the other night, and we're going to play this, and at several points I'm going to interrupt it with my little comments. Here we go. This is Ted Cruz and Chris Cuomo. Oh, sorry. We need a minute. Sorry about that. We're not quite ready. They're going to have what you're basically going to hear right now, folks, is a brawl. And it's kind of funny because Chris Cuomo, who also complained about Trump interrupting all the time, wait until you hear how many times he interrupts Ted Cruz. I mean, I almost wonder why he even gave Cruz a mic. It's crazy. Are we ready to go? All right, here we go.
Was it a mistake when your brother implemented a policy that nursing homes had to accept COVID positive patients and endangered the lives of
my brother was the first one to say that there was a learning curve and that mistakes were made and they changed things as soon as they could.
But then now, don't be a
Okay, really quick here. Mistakes were made, Chris? We're all learning? Really? Tell me, Chris, when have you cut President Trump that kind of slack? Because he was dealing with the whole country. Your brother was just messing up one state. So you want that kind of slack cut to your brother? Oh, gee, it was so new. We were all learning. You don't cut it to the president. Let's keep going.
Change things as soon as they could. Well,
but then
now,
don't be a hypocrite.
I could write
about
that
it.
Off then, as then, a political attack, right?
I could ask you
questions about only things that have to do with your family, but I'm not going to do that because the general proposition
matter
more.
Chris, I'm actually
more.
Talking about public policy that was a serious mistake.
But testing is not public policy? Testing is
Chris,
not public
policy. I'm not interrupting you. Let me actually get a sentence without interrupting
you. I think you've gotten many, sir. I'll show you the tabulation of who spoke and how much in the segment later. Go ahead.
Chris.
Yes, sir.
This pandemic has been an enormous challenge across the country. I think Democrats and Republicans are trying in good faith to keep people safe. But I think we can also have reasonable policy discussions about what works, A, to keep people safe, but B, to get people back to work. And I think people want to go back to work. You know, this week, Disney announced 28,000 layoffs. Now, Disney is not
American
a right-wing company. They're
American
a very
Airlines
liberal company.
Is
what's interesting about Disney, is they're doing the layoffs in California because California shut down the theme park. They're not doing the layoffs in Florida because Florida opened Disney World. I mean, it's a clear contrast where Democratic politicians in California have shut it down and they've cost people their jobs.
Out of business and not the place that they're in business, and you're saying that's political.
No, Chris, he's saying California drove Disneyland out of business, but Florida didn't. Keep up, Chris. Just try and keep up.
No, I'm saying the policies of Democrats to shut the economy down are bad policies that hurt people's lives.
What do you
and
do
the
when
layoffs
people are getting
are the direct
sick,
result.
Ted? What do you do when people are getting sick, Senator, and you can't
well, you
test
don't,
them?
You don't send them
and
in
they
the
don't
nursing
wear masks
homes.
And you tell
you
them not to.
You don't send them into nursing homes.
Oh, so the nursing homes was the sum total of the entire problem in the country. That's what
well,
it was.
It led
7
to New
million
York
cases.
Having 33,000 deaths compared to Texas having 15,000 deaths, and Texas has 50% more population than New York does.
And what about all the cases that they had? And how
so
many people got
be,
sick by the
be,
refusal to shut down businesses? You say
you
want
to
open them up, but you won't discuss how. You say you
objective.
Introduced a bill, but you won't talk about the president and his failure. The testing has to be done at the federal level, Ted. You know this. Well, you understand a little bit about state economics. You know the governor can't do it himself, right?
Oh, this is hilarious. This is hilarious. Chris is bragging about there being more testing in New York when New York has four times the deaths of Texas. And Texas has a state. It's a state with 50% more people. Okay, folks, I just want to ask you something. What is more important, more testing or more death? Gee, golly, that's great, Chris. Your brother has more testing and lots more people are dead. My gosh.
Well, actually, governors have taken the lead and have had much greater success. Texas' record on every
they
level is much,
to.
Much better than New York and New Jersey and
that's
Massachusetts
not true. Look at New
and
York's
Pennsylvania.
Numbers. Look at the rate every day of testing.
33,000 deaths versus
15,000
deaths.
They were the-
oh, again, look at the rate of this testing. Look at the rate of testing. By the way, Chris, you're whining about testing. It's got to be at a federal level. Well, Chris, I thought you didn't want Trump to be a dictator. I thought you didn't want him to go in and tell the states how to run their lives. And by the way, if Trump were to come down with a one-size-fits-all and tell the whole country what to do, you, Chris Cuomo, would be calling him a dictator. You know you would. And now you're whining because you have no answers because, let's face it, Cruz is eating your lunch.
They were the hub of where people were coming. You guys want to celebrate China. You let in 40,000 people. It had already moved to Europe.
So Chris,
you let
me,
in
let
tens
me ask
of
you,
thousand
does it
people.
Does it trouble
they went
you?
To the hubs. That's why we got so sick.
Does it trouble you at all that New York and New Jersey had the highest death rates in the country?
Of course.
Does that make you pause and say, gosh.
It all troubles me, Ted. And to watch guys like you stand by and stroke your beard like a wise man instead of telling the president to get on it when you have power.
How about tell your brother to get on it?
My brother will stand for his own record. Why don't you talk to the president the way you talk to my brother, Ted? You afraid of him? You think he'll smack you down at home?
Oh,
is that
yeah.
what it is?
I'm
like he shut you up in the primary?
The Cuomos. You guys
not
are really
Cuomos.
Tough.
I'm talking about the president. My brother's not the president. I'm talking about the president, the one who called you a liar, the one who said your wife was ugly. That guy. You know, the guy now who you won't say anything about.
I recognize that you like it. You actually wonder why you don't have a lot of Republicans that want to come on your show.
I have more than any other
at
show.
Me and yell at me and insult.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm raising my voice to match your own because you want to play games, Ted. And people
that's
are dying.
That's okay, Chris. You're perfectly fine to scream and yell because you know what?
Okay, you want to play games, Ted, while people are dying. Newsflash, Chris, 62% of those people are dying in states run by Democrats. Your party. And you look for every excuse, every way to blame it. Well, we're a hub. We're where they come in from Europe. You're right. Hey, yeah, that's right. No one's ever come to Florida from Europe. Come on, man. To quote Joe Biden, Chris, it's only 38% of the deaths happening in Republican-run states, 62 run by Democrat-run states, and you want to blame Trump. It doesn't wash.
Fine to scream and yell because you know what?
Oh, but you don't.
You're doing it because you don't want to discuss the substance. Like
I had you,
you invited
to discuss
me on the
things.
Show to actually talk about the Supreme Court and talk about the book One Vote Away, and instead you just want to repeat insults over and over and over again.
Oh, but
like,
you're
let's
not.
Actually talk about
you just
Supreme
bring
Court
up my
for
brother for half the interview because you're such a fair guy.
No, Chris. The reason your brother is taking up half the interview is that you're dragging it out with interruptions.
Fair guy.
Well,
you play it
no,
so straight
you,
down
you,
the middle.
You were just playing in a biased way, attacking
because the president's
Texas, Florida,
not at the top
Georgia,
of the food chain.
Coincidentally, happen to be Republican states when the death rates they are markedly worse. And we should ask when the death rates are markedly worse in some states than others, we should ask a reasonable question.
Yeah.
Were the
why didn't the president help
states,
sooner?
Were the decisions
that's the question.
That
led why didn't
to that?
The president and, help sooner?
Why didn't the president help sooner, Chris? Cruz is comparing states, and you're blaming the disparity from one state to the other on the president, who is helping all 50 states. How could the president's actions make one state worse than another, Chris? Oh, thank God for Ted Cruz. And thank God for all of you folks. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And tomorrow, we're going to be doing The Russians Are Coming with Richard, John, and I looking at the movies of Russians. And until then, drive safe. God bless. And make sure that you catch the first hour at 6 o'clock. And thanks for joining Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.